We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The ultimate football team. The ultimate football show. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI. The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer. By Moxie Soda. By Gould's Distinctive Clothing. And by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson, the Fantasy Football Hour, to kick off your football Sunday. How are you, Pete?
Hey, bud.
All right, hey, it's a big guy.
Sorry.
It's a big start to the day. We got a 9:30 game. I just reminded our glorious producers of that to get their fantasy lineups in. So we've got Tennessee and the Chargers out in London starting at 9:30. So,
yeah, trying to sell your sport, you know, overseas. Got to send Mariota his busted up hand and the Titans over there.
The Titans, they get
a load of us.
It seems like we always send at least one like high school looking offense over there. You know, they've had a couple.
Broken.
Good games.
I mean, it's not all their fault. It's 94% their fault.
There's a 6%
something like that.
There's a 6% variance.
I've gotten them 6% slack.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not very clear headed. One of the downsides of being a film junkie like myself is that sometimes you forget to look at the clock, and last night at about 1:20, I glanced over at the clock and went, "Oh no!"
I hear you, man.
Whoops! I'm like, I need to watch the Browns one more time from last week. And next thing I know,
well, the things that happens is that,
so I'm sitting here just running on fumes.
That's okay.
But my apologies to everyone.
It's not my fault. The thing that happens though on Sunday mornings, you get a lot of news. Like suddenly, you know, things break.
Oh my lord! I heard you say Gronk's out. I had him doubtful. Is it official he's 100% out?
He didn't make the trip.
No, I know he didn't make the trip, but they were saying he's still not 100% out. I had this vision of him doing one of those, like Vince McMahon strutting in,
like when Doug Mirabelli got the police escort to catch Tim Wakefield's knuckleball against the Yankees.
Yeah, he'll pull a Willis Reed as we say in New York.
Yeah, no, he's out. He is not going to play.
I just hadn't heard that as 100%.
Yeah, but I mean,
sometimes when there's a back thing, they don't take a flight at a particular time because they don't want to lock up, and then they get a later flight and they end up playing. But I know it's like way, way, way unlikely.
You know what I think it is, Pete? I think that they also, like, from what I read, it's not something that is long term. That's too serious.
Want it to be.
Yeah, they don't exactly. You know, and so they've
tough
got plenty
game to
of
be without him though. He was a big factor in this game just because Gronk tilts the field, you know, and everything works from that. Fantasy folks like you and myself, we hate it when we've got Gronk and he goes, 5 for 51 or whatever. But even when he does that for the Patriots, he makes a huge impact.
Well, football impact. It opens
everything
else up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're talking about, right? Just for this tiny second. And, that's the thing about Gronkowski. If you go back and look at go look at all the games in the last 4 years where he didn't make a big fantasy impact. I bet you 75% of those games, they were big PI calls for him.
Yeah.
Where he made a big
down
play.
Down the field, like 40 yards down the field or
exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly. Yep. It happens so often. And on the games where he didn't get one of those calls, he probably should have.
He gets mugged.
We've talked about the Shaq treatment that Gronk gets many times.
He gets mugged literally on every play, at least when he goes downfield. It's crazy.
But so it does open. Out, and yeah, but no way they're replacing him with a tight end. So the targets are going to flow to other Patriots.
That's what I was going to say. It opens up a lot of opportunity for people. So, one guy who can't get on the field, it would be nice to watch him is Jacob Hollister.
I just had a flashback to when you and I were in the Mets sales room, but we'll get into that. Get on the field.
Yeah, right. But Hollister and Dwayne Allen, the Patriots don't replace production positionally, okay?
Well, they do when they can.
Yeah, but they can't this week.
Right. When they had Edelman to slot in for Welker, that was great.
Yeah, but I think who's going to maybe
case,
pick up who's
going to
pick up
guys.
Who's going to pick up the slack here with Gronk out? Is it could be like Chris right. Hogan, you know, it could be Philip Dorsett. You might see reemerge in some form, and then you've got the usual suspects: Edelman, James White, you know, Gordon, Sony. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity there.
This is a week where Patterson could have a positive impact without necessarily making the big play, because he can help them manipulate the defense a little bit pre-snap. You know, this is where you're really happy you got Tom Brady. A key obviously for the Pats is getting the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible and not exposing him to Mac, who thankfully is not 100%.
Yeah, he is playing, but he is an ankle that he's dealing with, and that every little bit helps. But I think this game this week is more about the Bears and how real they are versus the Patriots. Usually in matchups like this, when you've got, you know, you're going on the road, a team is playing pretty well, the Bears look pretty complete. They're young, but they're playing well. But the Patriots are the litmus test for everybody, and I feel like it's going to be show-me time for the Bears, even though they're on their turf. The Pats are riding pretty high right now, 3-game winning streak. They've got pretty much all their weapons except one big one with Gronk. But as we just said, you've got Brady, and he's going to be able to spread it around to 5 or 6 guys who can make plays, you know? And the impact of when Edelman's back on that offense is just so significant, and I think you get a lot of him today too.
You know, this game, obviously, if they were without Gronk and Edelman,
then it's completely different.
Yeah, then we would be sitting here going, what are they going to do? This will be fun or interesting or whatever. But I think obviously with Edelman there, you've got a staple that they can use. I was high on Edelman before Gronk was out, so I think I'm even a little higher on him now. Figure an extra target or two, maybe three, so that it takes his value up. He's at 6,600 on DraftKings, so I'd like him this week. I mean, I'm not going to have him in like every lineup because there's so many good plays at receiver on DraftKings. But definitely see Edelman as, you know, being a little more embedded in that Binky role that he plays so well.
I agree with you. And it's interesting when you look at it from a daily fantasy football perspective, when you look at the salaries, you know, the cost of some of these players.
I was so set on this week. I was so set.
These guys, it's pretty even. If you go right down the line, White 6,900, Edelman 6,600, Brady 6,100, Gronk was 6.
Well,
Josh Gordon 5,600, Sony 5,500. It's just interesting. I think what they're seeing is what we're saying.
What's interesting about
that? Well, they're seeing what we're saying, which is that I think it's going to be a pretty even distribution along all the weapons.
Yeah, I mean, those prices are across positions. But yeah, I mean, I'm just interested to see how they're going to play. The big thing I can't quite get my head around is White and Sony. Like, I want to sort of lean towards one of them. I can't quite do it, so I don't really have either one of them in my lineups right now.
Sony's a little dinged up with his knee still.
Well, right. That's sort of where I'm confused. And now without Gronk, you would think they'd want to lean on Sony more if they could, but I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where I'm stuck. I'd like to play a Patriot running back this week. I can't quite figure how they want to do it. And part of it is we don't really know exactly what Chicago's going to be on defense. We don't know how, you know, limited Mac is going to be. The better Mac is, the more I think it goes to White and Edelman.
Yeah. Yeah, and White's priced at 6,900. That tells you something from DraftKings. So,
it tells you he's been catching a lot of passes.
Yeah, he's like a running back one right now. He's been, you know, in terms of statistically.
In PPR, I mean, but it's sort of fugazi, you know, because the Patriots will de-emphasize a player at their pleasure at any time.
Yeah.
And we're sort of sitting there holding a 6,900 unit bag. but yeah, I mean, he's earned that price tag. There's no doubt. I mean, you and I have been members of the White fan club
for
a long time, so I'm enjoying just sort of seeing him get a little limelight. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, right? Like if you and I had been talking in August, and we said that by week 7, the most expensive Patriot on DraftKings is going to be James White, I think we'd have both said, nah, probably not. And the one thing we would have said is, wow, injuries. There have been injuries.
Yeah,
and it's really just Burkhead at this point that's causing this. Right.
Yeah, that's the big one. And then also they you know, the gutsy move early with all the lack of running back depth when they cut Mike Gillisley, you know,
and the injury to Hill, who was playing
Jeremy Hill
really
is
well.
Yeah.
Look, give him credit.
Yeah, that's actually the one I was thinking of.
But. Yeah, Hill showed up to play this year. It's a shame that you know, he didn't get to enjoy that. That's a bad beat injury that he got.
Well, I think he had a little bit of a redemption.
It was
story.
Devlin just came flying into him sideways.
Yeah.
It was just the whammy. It was like when Brady got his knee. It was like there's no way to defend against that.
Yeah.
And you know, the irony of that injury is that Jeremy Hill was hustling.
That's what I was going to say. It's a bit of a
What he's known for.
Yeah, a bit of a redemption story for him, and then it just didn't get off on the right foot.
Bad beat.
One thing I want to just mention is the techs are coming in at 37-90-37. I'll hit them because this is a critical week now. The buys are really starting to make an impact in fantasy football.
Well, there's four of them, so yeah.
Yeah, and also, too, we're getting towards that time, and we saw it in one of our leagues with you, and one of our league mates, is that people are starting to get to the point where they're looking at their teams, and I got to make a move. So, like, trades, who are you going to play on a weekly level, how you manipulate the buys, that's all starting to come upon us. So I see the questions coming in, and we're going to hit them. So keep them coming at 3-7.
You got buy problems, it's your problem. I don't want to hear about it.
Hey, but people need help. So look at, speaking of people needing help, before we get
back. We tried to help you with your buys back in September.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, that, you know, we talk about it all during August. September's going to be huge for setting up your season. Hopefully folks have been reading the waiver wire all year, because if you picked up most of our stash plays this year, you're in really
you're in
good
shape.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one who hasn't really hit so far, and I haven't given up on him yet, is DJ Moore.
Mm.
He hasn't quite come out yet, but he's close. He's like on the verge. But obviously, Nick Chubb this week, oh, baby.
Yeah, Nick Chubb's a,
I was saying it before, and I apologize. I was sort of cutting you off, but I had my week set, Jim. I had everything locked in. I knew exactly who I wanted to play and where and why.
Yeah.
And then they trade freaking Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb sitting there at 3,600 units, and it's like, okay, time to break everything down, reevaluate, and build it back up. Because I'm a fan of Chubb, and to have him in a starting role at a depressed price like this is.
It's sweet.
It's nice.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's great, but the thing is, it's not like you're the only person who notices it. So now you have to relook at the whole slate and know that a lot of people are going to be taking this, and you have to look at Chubb in terms of, all right, do I want to take the free square, or do I want to sort of go against it? It's actually an interesting theoretical, philosophical thing. I'm rolling with him too.
And on the other side of it too, where Hyde went in Jacksonville, I wouldn't rule him out getting some action today. That's even been rumored a little bit.
I mean, I wouldn't touch him, but it is rumored that he may get some snaps.
Yeah, yeah, get him a little bit familiar with the offense. And Yeldon's probably still the play there if you want to play that game. Not a game I'm really looking at.
No doubt Yeldon's the play. Yeah. I'm not touching anything there, personally. I don't want anything to do with that game.
A couple things that just broke. Melvin Gordon out for week 7.
Officially out.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's important. That's a 9:30
start.
So
now basically everything I've got locked in, I have to now reevaluate, because now we've got Eckler.
Yeah.
Eckler's at 4,100 units now, and he's going to be a free square.
Yeah, look at Eckler's. He's a statistical monster sometimes, so I wouldn't be afraid of him.
No, of course not. He's going to be starting, and he's going to be a high-volume player. They don't have a backup to him. Eckler just became the bell of the ball. He's going to be the most popular play this week.
Yep. You know what's interesting?
So now you've got two running backs, both starting, one at 3,800, one at 4,100, and people are sitting there trying to jam in Zeke and Gurley, and you're not going to be able to get both if you take the two cheap running backs, and the receivers don't have a lot of elite guys. You've got the Steelers on the bye. So this is going to be a really interesting week in terms of lineup construction, in terms of how people choose to go cheap to play big at other positions. It's wide open now. This week just got blown open.
It did. And I want to hit this 9:30 game just because it's right in front of us. One of the things that...
If we have to.
Just real quick, I mean, is the receivers and with the Chargers. You know,
I have no interest in any of them.
Really?
None.
Keenan Allen...
Not in this game. It's a bad game, man. This is a slow football game.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's not getting enough targets. He's still expensive. I could not be less interested in this game, because the Titans, all they want to do is ruin your time.
Yeah.
All they want to do is run clock, hold the football, play ugly. And the Chargers, you know, Rivers is notorious for also running clock when it suits his needs. So the Chargers get up in this football game. Especially, and if they don't get, like, if they're up by 10 early, this thing could just be over in like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, the thing I was going to just hit on that is if you had to play, you know, it looks like Travis Benjamin's back, Mike Williams and Tyrell Williams, they're all
which further makes the mix.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Yeah. They're all kind of the same
that
guy.
That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
Travis Benjamin.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know who to kind of even throw a dart there. So
don't.
Yeah. Probably a game
hold
to
your
avoid.
Dart.
Yeah.
Do not throw said dart. I mean, this game, obviously Eckler for sure.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you know, Chargers defense, maybe.
Mm.
Apart from that, I don't want anyone in this game. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to go nuts. I mean, this game could end up being 39 to, you know, 32 or some crazy
thing. You just don't know where the points are going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no way. If this game does go nuts, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be this unpredictable London thing like we saw last year with, what, the Ravens and who was it? the Lions, maybe.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay.
I mean, we've seen with these, you know, the Sunday games in London are sort of like Thursday games.
Yeah.
Where they just sort of take on a life of their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily this thing's off the main slate because I don't want to have to sweat this game. I'm glad I don't have to.
Now let's get to the there's some good action at 1 o'clock, or like, you know, right, with a lot of availability for your fantasy lineups. Yeah, and your daily
one thing about lineups. That, Ty Williams did make some really good plays last week.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, I look at that, I'm kind of like, I'm a little tempted to put him in one of my lineups, but like, you know, you don't know.
No,
he could put up a goose egg.
I'm not tempted at all. I mean, he did it on 3 targets.
Yeah. Well, that's what he does. He's a big play guy, you know, when he gets.
So, I mean, if more targets were flowing to Ty Williams, I would be interested. But as we said, Benjamin's back. It's a 4-receiver team now, and it's a game where they're probably going to be up with, and both teams working to shorten the game.
Yeah,
I mean, the Titans will be down 7, and they will still
run.
They'll still try to shorten the game.
Yeah,
Vrabel is, you know. Vrabel hates your fantasy team.
Boy, did they kill Deion? Did they kill Deion Lewis down there? I mean, what an
Lewis
electrifying
is their best
player.
Kill him, Jimmy. He's their best guy.
I know, but
they killed Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but Lewis is such an electrifying player. Just like there's nothing there in that offense. Nothing.
Deion's electrifying, but he was also very much a product of the Patriots.
Yeah,
not as electrifying. You put him on any other.
But if you
team.
Give him some open space, get that wiggle, it makes that guy
sure.
Missing.
But there's
Gonzo.
A million backs like that. Put Tariq Cohen in space. You know, there's a million good space backs. I mean, Deion Lewis. You know, I love him. He's great. He's a heck of a runner. But you know, being that special every week kind of thing was really him being on the Patriots.
He definitely looks like a jag now. I think it's more of a product of what doesn't
good,
happen in
but
Tennessee.
There's no. He doesn't. Yeah, he's playing in the Titan offense. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know. There's not a lot of statistics available in that offense. I mean, look, Corey Davis has been playing really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch him running his routes, and I'm like, wow, this guy's so good. Look at him. He is winning a high percentage of his routes, and he looks great out there. They can't take advantage of it in any way. He hasn't been a wide receiver 3 all year, I think 1 week.
Yeah,
and,
he,
I mean, if
you get a sneaky late touchdown for you statistically, but it kind of ends there. He gets
a lot
of targets.
No, he won't. That's not even true. I mean, 1 week he did that, but by and large, he's just been a complete waste of space, and it's not his fault. He's playing great, but you know, I mean, he had 15 targets in one game. Other than that, he's around 4 or 5 targets a game. They cannot. They just don't function on offense right now. You know, if Corey Davis was a Patriot, I'm telling you right now, he'd be talk of the town, and so would Deion.
Yeah.
You know, I just appreciate it, New Englanders, man. I mean, this offense is so much better than a lot of these offenses. I mean, the Titans and the Cardinals, it's like they're playing in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a high school offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the Titans' case, I give them a little bit of slack because they're dealing with injuries. They've got a quarterback who cannot feel his hand. So they're, you know, they're playing in a tough spot, but
yeah, and he's coming off injuries in a bad year too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He might have some stuff in his coconut going wrong too with Mariota.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get on Mariota's case. Give him credit for sucking it up and playing, and realizing that him playing at 80% is still better than Gabbert at 100%. But yeah, I mean, right now this is just. You can't get involved in this offense.
Hey, one thing I want, just one more bad offense I want to cite that maybe
let's hit all of them.
Maybe there's some hope in Arizona, because that was an absolute stinker on Thursday night that I was happy not to watch the Red Sox clinch.
You don't see football that bad very often.
Yeah, but
that was a good night to have something better to
do. Yeah, but my note to Byron Leftwich, the new offensive coordinator in Arizona, is just look at the 16 game film on David Johnson, and maybe there's hope for David Johnson owners out there, because there's nothing happening right now.
You know, it really is remarkable. Arians gave them a template, a blueprint to work from.
Yeah.
And it was almost like they went in and just lit it on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to wonder, you know. That offense had a way to
It was
function.
Moving, yeah.
Yeah, why come in and move the furniture all around? But they did. And, boy, McCoy is just, he is a murderer of offense.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It really is at high school level. So
yeah, every time Peyton Manning gets a new offensive coordinator, it's dangerous for the league. Because he makes people think that guy can actually coach and... You know, then they go around and, you know, you take Peyton Manning away from him and he's completely worthless.
Yeah, sure seems that way. Yeah. All right, let's walk the slate a little bit. There's some action that we need to get to. Where do you want to start? Pat's Chicago, we got to. We didn't really talk much about the Bears and what's on their side of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the Pat side, you know, Edelman's the guy that I sort of have locked in. I think Gordon in, like, large tournaments where you're willing to miss because you want to chase the upside.
Yep.
I like Gordon. I think he's a guy who could could do a lot. The key for Gordon is that the Patriots have to do their thing early. If the Patriots can run the ball and execute the short passing game early, start wearing Chicago out a little bit. They got worn out last week by Miami, right?
Yeah.
Then I think that will open up Gordon as we go through the game. So that's really the key. If you think that's going to happen, if you think the Patriots are going to run effectively, if you think they can give Brady a pocket just long enough to get the ball out on some short routes, I think as the game goes on, they wear down the Bears. And I personally think the Patriots win this thing fairly easily.
That's what I said at the top. Like, to me, it's kind of about it's a check me game for the Bears more than it's about the Pats. I expect the Patriots to be the Patriots no matter where the game is right now, the way the offense is functioning.
I agree. I think the Bears are sort of a house of cards in some ways. Like, I don't think they're Fugazi. I don't think what they've done is not real or anything like that. I think they are a good team. I love where they're headed.
Yeah, Nagy's good. Nagy seems to have
I like Nagy a lot. Yeah. I'm impressed with what he's doing because he's basically got a Mark Sanchez type quarterback, and he's scheming the offense around that reality. And I think that's just a good sign when your coach can smell the coffee. You know, like some coaches just sort of refuse to see the reality.
Well, you scratch
your
head.
Like the Giants the last 2 years.
Yeah, you scratch your head like every week. It's like, why isn't this guy playing? Especially when you have a fantasy lens. You wonder if you don't see it. But Nagy knows where his talent is.
Why do the Cardinals keep running David Johnson between the tackles?
Yeah.
But the Bears have made this offense, everything is scripted, everything is schemed. They're not letting this guy drop back and make 3 and 4 reads. Every time he does, something ugly happens. Mm. I mean, the Bears ultimately lost that game last week. They had it right in the palm of their hands.
Yep.
I mean, Trubisky was trying to give it away like the whole last 20 minutes of the game, and ultimately they did. The more Trubisky has time to think, the worse off he is.
Yeah, he needs to react.
Right. When they've got him dictating, things go very well. Mm. So, you know, there's no way the Patriots aren't hip to that.
Yeah, he's gonna have trouble doing that against New England.
It'll be interesting. I'm interested to see what the Patriots do to try to break that up. The Bears have some real advantages against the Patriots, right? The Patriots are slow on defense.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen could, you know, have a nice day.
Well, Tariq Cohen and Gabriel, right?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, Trey Burton, an athletic speed tight end.
So
they've got all these guys that are tough to get a grip on. You know, Anthony Miller, you know. So this is going to be interesting in terms of what Chicago does and what the Patriots are going to do to counter all that speed. I really am looking forward to watching this game. I wish it was going to be on in my area.
I'll tell you, it's a classic one of these for the Patriots. If they get it, when they get the ball first, whether they defer or they even have the choice, when they get the ball first, if they score and they hold Chicago, you know, to a punt on their first possession, you're going to know exactly where it's going to go. I think it's critical early for both teams to kind of set the tone, and I think the Patriots have a good opportunity to do that.
My guess is Chicago comes out and it's very scripted, and then it's a question of how long they can do that. Like, sometimes you sort of run out of script. You know, we'll see, and it'll be interesting to see what the Patriots try to do. I think the Patriots are going to want to, as much as possible, put this on Trubisky directly.
Yeah.
And Nagy's going to work hard to keep that from happening. If you watch the Bears, you're looking at, you know, end-arounds and shovel passes and screens, you know, and rollouts and boots and all kinds of stuff to, you know, either cut the field in half or make it a single-read play. And it's really worked. Now the Patriots are a slow defense. What are they going to do to try to counter that? I mean, obviously, the Patriots need to be disciplined and they need to tackle.
Yep.
That's going to be huge.
And they're pretty healthy back there. You know, the guys that they have to rely on for that, like Patrick Chung, you really feel it when he's not there.
Yeah.
When they break that first level of the defense. But when he's there, he clears a lot of mistakes up there. He's a hard hitter. He's a good tackler. And I think they've got most of those guys in place. So
yeah.
And they should have been good for that.
Another key thing for the Bears is going to be A-Rob, and is he healthy enough to really sort of – he's sort of the decoy on that offense.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's got a groin issue, but it looks like he's going to play.
Right.
And he's a field stretcher for them too, in certain respects. So they can.
Well, the field stretcher is definitely Gabriel.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, he is playing very well right now, and he's got speed to burn.
He's had a nice resurgence, Taylor Gabriel, too.
You know, he's had a huge game last week. The thing is, for the most part, it's him being set up. I mean, he's the benefit of all these other athletes. He's the guy who gets the least offensive attention, so he's the guy they most easily get in space and he's making big plays. He and Cohen are playing very similar roles.
Yep.
And it's really going to be interesting to see if they can do that to the Patriots.
Yeah, the one guy who it's tough to get a read on in this game is Jordan Howard. Like, are they going to stuff it into the Patriots? That's one thing they can do pretty
really
well is to stuff the run. You know,
I'd be really
like
surprised if they try to do that.
I would agree. And
that's just sort of going right to the Patriots'
strength. Yeah, but you're going to know early if you see them try him like two rushes in a row. The Patriots are going to roll. I think you'll know early.
Yeah, Jordan Howard, not a good week to be a Jordan Howard team. You know, you got to hope for a high-scoring game and some goal line love.
Yeah, and then maybe, you know, if they're in a position, which I don't think they will be, to run him in, you know, late in the game, which I don't think you're going
to
see.
And I'm not trying to count the Bears out in this thing. It's going to have a lot to do with it really – I don't want to say it's all about the Bears' offense because their defense is so strong, but I'm going to say Brady is something we can count on. You know, what a stretch.
Yeah, as good as the defense is, I don't think they're going to fool them, you know. And,
right.
You know, so
to me, the Bears' offense is the key. Can Belichick, you know, get a stick in their spokes or not?
Yep. And then this just in, and no surprise here, Sony Michel, Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, all expected to play. So
that's
good. So Brady will have most of the full complement of his weapons, missing his biggest, baddest one, but there's plenty there.
The question with Michel is he ready for a workload? It'd be nice if he could handle 20 carries this week.
Yeah, look, he's been questionable coming into like almost a game time decision every week since he started, and he's carried the load. So my assumption is that he can.
Yeah, that'll be great. If they can mix in a heavy dose of Michel with the short passing game, they should be able to sort of slowly take control. And then as they get Chicago a little bit winded and a little bit frustrated because they can't, you know, because Brady's not back there long enough for them to get any good hits, slowly they should be able to open things up. If it plays out like that, I think the Patriots are in great shape.
All right, so we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be back. When your texts come in at 37937 for your lineup questions, for your daily fantasy lineups, we're gonna hit them. And don't forget to text in your favorite players or the player with the most moxie, because Moxie wants you to tell us who's gonna be this week's player with the most moxie. So just text the word moxie to 37937. Absolutely, and tell us who your guy is this week. Could be automatically entered to win a VIP football experience in Foxborough this season. That includes VIP tailgate passes, which is always nice. WEEI general contest rules apply.
Let's get back to Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back.
A little set?
Yeah.
Get the light out.
Get you going.
By the way, I'm sitting there going crazy about Eckler, and because I was up till 1 in the morning like an idiot, I'm not even thinking he's off the main slate, so it's really not as quite a...
Right.
Huge thing as possible, unless you're playing the Thursday to Sunday, in which case it's huge.
Yeah.
Or Thursday to Monday, excuse me.
All right. So we got some games we want to hit. I want to hit some texts because they're coming in kind of fast and furious. A couple of you sent some biblical ones. I don't even know what to do on that. So I'm just going to refer you for the long ones, okay? Check out the rankings at rotobond.com. They're all listed positions.
Yeah, I refreshed the rankings last night. Or, you know, shoot a multi-part series of tweets to Jim and I, and we'll do our best.
All right. Here's a couple I want to hit, though, because there's some good ones out there. A lot of quarterback questions this week, and I understand it. Hmm. You know, so 603
Dude,
is that...
you answer them.
I think I will. 603, Trubisky or Luck? I'm going Trubisky all day. Luck all day there. I like Luck. Even though Buffalo's tough defense, I don't like Mitch Trubisky against the Patriots. I just don't.
I'm probably with you on that. I guess the interesting question there is, if we're right and the Patriots are going to do really well offensively,
then he might be throwing all day.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the counter argument. I'm looking at my rankings just to see what my rankings tell me to say. I've got Trubisky at 14 and I've got Luck at 16. Mm. So my rankings say Trubisky. Mm. I've got them in a very similar spot. Just remember that Buffalo is, you know, Hilton's coming back, but we don't know how healthy that hamstring is. Buffalo's got an excellent corner. They can take somebody away, and they've been playing really good defense. It's a close one. Mm. They're both at home. I think it's a coin flip.
Yeah, it is. I'm trust your gut on that one, because I'm feeling Luck in that one a little bit.
I don't think there's really a bad choice there.
Yeah.
Luck probably has a better floor just because he's Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe the wheels could come off
of
Trubisky this week.
I think that's what's kind of... factoring in my decision.
But here's the way you want to look at it, right? If you're when you choose Trubisky there, you're not really choosing Trubisky so much as you're choosing Gabriel, Cohen,
and the game flow.
Trey Burton game flow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. A couple more QB questions I want to hit. 508, Wentz or Dalton? I'm all about Andy Dalton this week. I like Andy Dalton in the Bengals.
I love both of those guys.
Bengals KC. That's going to be a shootout.
I would lean to Dalton because of the matchup.
Yeah. So I'm firing up the Red Rockets.
But I really like Wentz this week, too.
Yeah.
Wentz, I think, has a better floor, but Dalton has so much upside in that matchup.
Yeah.
KC's defense is bad.
He's got little John Ross coming back, too. So
yeah, he does, which definitely helps because that can help them sort of set the field. Ross might catch one ball, but he'll have a positive impact on route design.
Yep. Another QB question with the Red Rocket, Dalton or Jameis Winston. Now, on that one, I'm kind of thinking Winston. That's close, but that's
I'm still going
really
Dalton. But listen, you've got two of the top five quarterbacks on the slate there. So it's a really nice problem to have. I would probably go Dalton.
Yeah, it's close. I actually got that decision in one league.
It's really tough. I mean, they're just both great plays, so...
Let's break down the games. Maybe we'll find our way if we break down that game, because that's actually a big game, the Cleveland and Tampa Bay game, in terms of players, availability, fantasy football, and implied point total. There's a lot there. Winston's got just an array of weapons, as we talk about seemingly every week. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Godwin.
I think it's a good week for Jameis. It's a good week for Dalton. So,
yeah.
There's really no bad choice there. I mean, I would go Dalton. It's a very close call. My top seven quarterbacks, there's like no separation between really any of them. I mean, there's a drop off after the top four, maybe three. Mm. But I mean, the top seven options are so good. Mahomes, Goff, Matt Ryan, Brady, Dalton, Cousins, Winston. A little bit of a concern with Cousins and the Vikings just because there are gale winds blowing in Jersey. So I'm hearing the winds could get up above 20. If that's the case, that will have a negative impact on throwing offense. So that's something to keep tabs on.
Yep.
Especially for those folks like me who are planning on playing Thielen in a lot of lineups, you know, keep tabs on that wind at the Meadowlands.
You know, Thielen's a big play this week. He's popular, and DraftKings has him at $8,600. So
yeah, I mean, the reason he's so popular, other than the fact that he's been smashing every week, that's obvious.
Yeah,
is that the Jets are hurt in the slot corner. Buster Screen is out, and
big absence for them. Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Screen wasn't playing particularly well anyway, but he's the best the Jets have for sure. The best corner the Jets have plays outside, so he's going to be on Diggs.
Yep. So Thielen should be open all day. And he's your top wide on the rankings, if I remember correctly. Right?
Yeah, two weeks in a row.
There you go. So
the Jet game is actually a very important game for the slate. If the wind does become an issue there, that's going to force some people out of that game. And there's some good plays there, obviously. Thielen, but also Diggs and Cousins. And then if the wind does become that big factor, then maybe Lat Murray at 5K as the only running back standing in that backfield becomes an interesting start. And on the Jets side, you've got Jermaine Kearse at 4,100 units, and that's with Robbie Anderson going up against Xavier Rhodes all day, and with Quincy Enunwa out, with Terrell Pryor out.
How about Terrell Pryor released yesterday? That surprised me a little bit.
He had a groin injury. It's going to keep him out multiple weeks. Jets don't have a lot of roster flexibility. And he's a little bit of a diva who people tend to not like. They might have just be getting tired of him. I don't know. But it is a little surprising just that he's actually played reasonably well.
I was wondering about his contract yesterday. I looked. It's just the 1 year. It's 4.5 mil, but it's the 1 year, so... I don't know. I was a little surprised to see that. Coming off a big game last week, too.
That was a little odd, but, Pryor's a high-maintenance guy. Doesn't make a lot of friends. You saw that in the Jets, Redskins preseason, like, practices and stuff. All the Redskins were, like, giving him all kinds of problems.
Well, he did nothing. He did nothing for the Redskins. He was great on
the Browns a couple
years ago.
Apparently, he did things we didn't know about. Like, not his teammates didn't like him, apparently.
He's a bad boy.
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just saying that there's unrest there. So perhaps he had the same effect in the jet locker room. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
I'm spitballing.
Yeah. Well, you have to because it's a surprise, right? So you left kind of scratching your head.
Right. So basically, you look at this Jet thing. Where are they going to throw the ball? They want to throw it to Robbie Anderson. It's going to be hard with Rhodes. So really, the ball's going to flow to Jermaine Kearse at 4,100 units, and he's going to be in the slot. That's really where you want to be against the Vikings defense. And then the other guy, I mean, I'm not advocating this, but Jet tight end Chris Herndon, rookie.
He's actually a
2,600 units.
Sneaky play.
Yeah, I definitely somebody to if you're sitting there and you're like, I love my lineup, but I only have 2,600 units left. Well, Herndon could be a guy to consider.
Yeah, and I also think
don't go heavy though.
Could be a Bilal Powell week, you know, in terms of catching the ball. I'm kind of thinking that. I know Crowell's going to play.
You know, I understand the inclination to say that, and I want to think that. The problem is they haven't thrown Powell the ball much all year. You cannot run on the Vikings. You're not going to get any, you know, running scores on the ground. So it almost has to be via the pass against the Vikes. And, you know, Powell hasn't had a lot of targets this year. As well as Darnold has played, he has shown a penchant for being aggressive.
He likes to throw it downfield. Yeah, he likes to throw it outside and downfield, no doubt.
Hasn't developed a lot of nuance throwing to the running backs yet.
Mm. It'll come.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I have to say I'm impressed with Darnold. He's been better than I thought he would be.
Yes.
As a rookie.
To the 727. Yeah, I know the Red Rocket is the Red Rifle now, but he was the Rocket a few years ago. I'm old.
On this show, he's the Red Rocket.
But thank you. Nice catch. Let's move. I want to actually get back to that Tampa Bay Browns game because we didn't actually talk about the Browns on the other side. And there's a lot of text coming in.
I'm heavy on the Browns this week. Love the Browns. Yeah. But I don't know if I love the Browns or if I just hate the Tampa Bay defense, but I love the Browns in this spot. The tough thing is Landry. I love Mayfield as a play this week, save you some money.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you stack him? My answer to that has been Njoku at 4,200 units.
I like that one.
Landry has...
It's been a ghost the last couple of weeks.
Well, you know what they've done is they've moved him outside. And it's not that he can't play out there, but Jarvis Landry against number one corners playing outside is not going to be targeted as much as Jarvis Landry playing inside against slot corners. That's just reality. So as long as the Browns choose to play it that way, I think he's going to be lighter in terms of volume.
It's too bad because he's a target monster typically. You know, if you have him in PPR, he's a high-end scorer.
The Browns may have their reasons. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing, but, you know, if they thought they were going to just replace Gordon with Landry...
Mistake.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. But in this matchup, Landry should be just fine. The problem with him is every time I try to stack him with Mayfield, I look up at the Rams receivers and I go, how am I possibly going to play Landry when I can have Woods cheaper?
Yeah.
It's just counterintuitive. It's impossible for me to do.
Yeah, it's tough.
But I do think he's a good play. And I think there's some other interesting guys. I think you mentioned Ratley at 3,600.
Yeah, Damon Ratley, this
probably,
guy.
I mean, I don't know how good he is, but he's definitely going to play a lot of snaps. He's going to probably get seven or eight targets. At that price tag, he's interesting. And then Duke Johnson at 4K is suddenly at least worthy of consideration. And then Callaway at 4,300 units. I don't know who's going to have the guts to make that play. And it could absolutely ruin your weekend, but it could also smash huge. It could go either way.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting is that Landry and Duke Johnson suffer from the same problem. It's obvious that offense isn't finding it in the middle of the field and underneath, and that's kind of where those guys typically live.
Well, again, Jimmy, that's not where Landry's living.
Yeah, they're putting him outside.
Yeah, he's playing outside, and you know Duke Johnson isn't playing slot like he did early last year. He's running routes out into the flats for the most part. So, you know, the middle of the field right now on that team sort of belongs to Njoku.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm sort of with you in that I'd like to see more variety. I'd like to see Duke Johnson slotted on occasion. I'd like to see Landry play more inside, but we'll have to see how it plays out.
Maybe with
they are dealing with some injuries, let's be fair. Higgins is out.
Yeah. Maybe with Hyde out of town, you maybe see a little bit more Duke Johnson now, you know?
Well, okay, that's absolutely the natural thought pattern, but when you look at the way they've done their playing time, Johnson's been playing 40-45% of the snaps every week. He's just not being targeted.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if his snap rate goes up more than maybe just a couple percentage points. The question is, are they going to start getting this guy involved?
The ball, yeah.
And if they don't want to throw, you know, if they want Mayfield to be more aggressive, then if I were them, I'd be more aggressive with the route design with Duke Johnson.
You also maybe lose the player. He's been a little bit chirpy from what I've seen the last couple of weeks in terms of working with the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Duke got paid, so yep. I think for the most part he should pipe down. But, I think they are leaving a pretty good weapon on the shelf.
No doubt. All right, we've got a lot of text to get to, a lot of lineup questions, and we're going to do it right after we break.
Back to the Fantasy Football Hour. Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson, the Fantasy Football Hour. That's the one Aerosmith song you can come out of a break to, Eamon. I like that one. a good riff.
So, you know, hey, one team we should just throw out there just because it's sort of getting crazy, but, you know, the Redskins are now going to be without Crowder, Richardson, and Thompson.
Unbelievable. They got nothing.
I mean, as much as I don't love the way Jordan Reed is running his routes, I don't think he looks great. He doesn't look that Jordan Reedy to me. But, man, at 4,800 units, the targets are going to be flowing his way today. He's definitely at least somebody to think about.
Yeah, and you know what? That could be a big Zeke day, too, because, I mean, they're going to. You would imagine Dallas is going to be able to kind of control the flow of that game.
Yeah, way to go, man. That's exactly where I was going. I mean, the logical flow of this reality is that Dallas looks really good in this game.
Yeah.
And they tend to handle the Redskins pretty well. Zeke and Dak have beat up on them pretty good, and I would think that's going to happen.
How about Elliott handling
more than 50% of their touches?
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's old school, and it's like Larry Zonka type stuff. But they're actually for the first time all year, they've got wind in their sails. I mean, they just put up a 40 spot against Jacksonville.
They looked good last week.
Yeah.
Give them credit.
So there might be something there for you. Shall we hit some text? Or do you want to hit a little bit of the Rams-Niners game first? Because there's some questions on those guys.
Well, we don't need to do too much on it other than to say play your Rams.
Yeah.
And now it sounds like Richard Sherman conceivably might not play. So that just makes it more of a land rush. So, get as many Rams in your lineup as possible. Gurley, Cooks, Woods, Goff. These guys are going to have a good day.
On the other side of it, too, the Niners, obviously, you know, they've got C.J. Beathard at quarterback, but all the guys are pretty healthy. They're playing. So
Beathard has really, you know, he's hung in there and played well. He's been serviceable. I mean, at 4,800 on DraftKings, he's almost like a cash viable play. I mean, worthy at least of your consideration. Kittle at 5K is a play. Breida at 5,300.
Yep. Good to see Breida back out. Yeah.
And Goodwin, with all the Rams' trouble at corner and the fact that their pass rush has been less than it should be, is viable at 4,600.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, let's knock down some text.
Let's roll through some here. So 9.78 is in a half PPR.
Anybody who needs more DFS stuff, I put up a DFS podcast on Rotobon yesterday. It's a quick 30-minute listen if you want to check out.
Yep, and the rankings are up.
All my DFS tapes.
Yep, and all positional rankings are up, and the salaries are there, which is good, rotobon.com. 9.78, Njoku, who we talked about a little bit earlier, or Kittle in half-point PPR?
That's tough.
It is. It's close.
I'm leaning Njoku. I think the targets are going to be there. I think the matchup is killer.
I like the big play upside, too, with him.
You know? It's really close, though. I literally have them almost identically projected. So Kittle would be probably the play on most boards. I'm just really liking Njoku this week. Did you say it was 0.5 PPR?
Half, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Njoku.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning Njoku too.
You really can't lose. You're going to have points on your bench. You're going to have to deal with that. So
yeah, exactly. The guy on your bench is going to have a good day no matter what you do.
Yeah. Another tight end question. PPR, Jordan Reed or Greg Olsen?
I think because of the way the targets are going to flow in that game, you play Reed. You said PPR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think Reed.
It's interesting. You think health.
Both good plays.
You always want to stay away from Jordan Reed, but Olsen's still making his way
back.
They're
both good candidates to leave the game early. That's just reality.
Yeah.
So
508, need two running backs and a flex PPR. The first one's Zeke. You're playing him. Zeke, Ingram, James White, Latavius Murray, and Godwin.
And he said PPR?
Yeah, I'm on Zeke and White.
For sure.
And then it's between Godwin and Lat Murray and Ingram, I guess.
Yeah, I would definitely play either Ingram or Lat Murray. Murray is probably in line for more touches. Ingram is on a much better offense, but they're going up against a really good defense that can stuff the run. That's a really tough call on Ingram and Murray.
I've got them
very, very close. Murray is probably the safer play right now because of the way this game is shaping up with the Jets. High wins, and I think the Vikings are going to get a lead.
The other thing, too, is...
But do what you think is right. Texture. I would not play Godwin for sure.
And we love Godwin, by the way, just to be clear.
I think everybody in that group is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But obviously, you get a much better floor with the running backs. Murray is just going to get a ton of touches in this game. He's not anywhere as good as Ingram, but he's probably going to get close to 20 touches, where Ingram's probably going to be more like 15.
So. Yeah. And there's a couple of Lat Murray questions out there. I'll pivot to 774 Lat Murray or TJ Yeldon in PPR.
Oh, Lat Murray.
Yeah, all day with Murray. One question came in a little earlier. I lost it, but I remember the players. I don't know the exchange. But he's like, basically, give me a rationale why to play Winston, Dalton, or Breeze, and I'll give you two. I mean, first of all, Baltimore's a good defense. There's also some weather there. You know, so we're starting to get. We're in
Why to play them over Breeze?
Yeah, I think, you know.
Well, Breeze is not as effective outdoors. He's not as effective on the road, and he's not as effective in high wind. So there you go. And it's a really tough match.
And Baltimore's pretty good, on defense.
So. I mean, Breeze is absolutely playable. I mean, if you have to play Drew Breeze, you're fine.
Yep.
But I, you know, I think Winston over him this week,
9-7-8, pick two and half-point PPR. Edelman, I'm liking this week. Kenny Golladay. And Eckler, who's going in about 35 minutes.
As crazy as it sounds, I bench Golladay.
Yeah. And Golladay's like a top 15 to 20 wide receiver right now, and pretty much any scoring format for
They're
me.
All good plays, but yeah. I'm playing Edelman today.
Me too.
That was PPR, right?
PPR, half PPR. But Eckler and Edelman,
still,
a lot of
still.
Volume there.
Yeah.
9-7-8. Alvin Kamara or Chubb in a standard league?
Kamara.
Yeah, you play Kamara every week, man. Let's see. Flying through this. 401. Need one tight end, two full flex, 12-team full PPR. Evan Engram back Monday night. Kyle Rudolph, Njoku, Jordan Howard, or Tevin Coleman.
Well, I play Njoku and Engram.
Yep.
And then we need what?
Jordan Howard or Tevin Coleman? Coleman.
I'd play Coleman.
Yeah, Coleman. Should be a good one. Do we have time for any more, Raymond? Roll a few more. They're coming in fast. I'm trying to keep track of them all. Let's see.
You can hit us on Twitter if we don't get to it, folks.
Yeah, Pete's at Rotobon. I'm at WEEI Hacksaw. Let's see. Need two running backs. Just did that one. That one came twice. Taking a risk in a trade. What do you guys think? 12-team standard.
Don't take a risk.
don't do it. Don't do it. Trade away Keenan Allen. Josh Howard. You got that wrong. I think he means Jordan Howard. Keenan Allen, Jordan Howard, Doug Baldwin. I receive Julio Jones, Josh Gordon, and Leonard Fournette.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, Keenan Allen, Jordan Howard, Doug Baldwin.
This is PPR.
You get standard. You get Julio, Josh Gordon, and Leonard Fournette.
Who's he giving up again? Baldwin?
Doug Baldwin, Jordan Howard, Keenan Allen.
Picking it's up okay.
Julio. Yeah.
I don't love it.
Yeah, I'm
struggling with that. Fournette could be on IR in a day, so be careful.
Yeah, look, they just made a trade, you know, to pick up Hyde. There's a reason for that, so be careful on that.
I mean, it could just be that they got him cheap and they're happy to get some depth, but it could be that they're worried Fournette's done.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. NFL Sunday coming up next. I'm at WEEI Hacksaw, Pete's at Rotobon. If you have more questions, do it, and check out the rankings at Rotobon.com. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.